From WNYC, New York Public Radio, this is the Leonard Lopate Show. I'm Leonard Lopate, and this is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open from American Express, presenting the interactive webcast event, Making a Name for Yourself. Kate and Andy Spade and Bobby Brown discuss their leap from business to brand, created by Open from American Express. Registration at openforumonline.com.
Hezbollah has surprised many with its resolve and firepower as it's battled the Israeli army over the past 29 days. On today's Backstory segment, we'll look into the origins of Hezbollah and how it's become such an effective military force. Joining me now is Fawaz Gurgis, who holds the Christian A. John Chair in International Affairs and Middle Eastern Studies at Sarah Lawrence College. His most recent book is Journey of the Jihadist, Inside the Muslim Militancy, which is published by Harcourt. And I'm very pleased to welcome him to this month's Backstory. Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Why was Hezbollah formed in the first place?
Well, Hezbollah did not exist before 1982. In 1982, Israel invaded Lebanon and occupied, as she went, Israel went as far as Beirut. It was the first time that Israel occupied an Arab city. Hezbollah was born out of the turmoil and the upheaval that really was brought about by Israel. As you know, almost 17,000 Lebanese civilians were killed as a result of the invasion between 1982 and 2000. And Israel remained in Lebanon from 1982 until 2000. So in this particular sense, the Israeli invasion of 1982 gave birth to Hezbollah, which is mainly a Shia party. And the Shiites in Lebanon, who represents about 40% of the Lebanese population, more than a million people, the Lebanese population number about 4 million people, the Shiites are highly marginalized and disadvantaged in Lebanon. So what happened is that the Israeli invasion of 1982 coincided with the Islamic Revolution in Iran, that is the Ayatollah Khomeini Revolution. And in this particular sense, both the invasion, the Israeli invasion of Lebanon, and the Islamic Revolution of Iran brought about this radical ideological organization. And Hezbollah battled Israel between 1982 and 2000. And in 2000, in May 2000, it forced Israel to pull out of a small strip of territories in southern Lebanon. That particular moment, I think, represented a major victory for Hezbollah in the eyes of the Lebanese and in the eyes of millions of Arabs and Muslims.
So their goals were mainly military at first?
Absolutely. Initially, Hezbollah really, the main goal of Hezbollah was to force Israel out of Lebanon because Israel remained in Lebanon until 2000, in particular in southern Lebanon. Southern Lebanon is inhabited mainly by Shiites, again, who represent about 40% of the Lebanese population. And like all military occupations, I think it encroached on the people's lives. It violated their deeply held values. So even though the main goal of Hezbollah was to expel Israeli forces from Lebanon, Hezbollah was a radical Islamist organization. One of its goals was to create an Islamic state in Lebanon. Lebanon is one of the most diverse and societies in the Middle East.
With a strong Maronite Christian presence.
Absolutely. Christians, yeah, you're absolutely correct. 40% Shiites, 30% or 25% Sunnis, and about 38% of Christians, mainly Maronites. So both, I think Hezbollah, really the birth of Hezbollah was the direct result of the Israeli invasion of Lebanon and the subsequent upheaval brought about by the Israeli invasion and the Islamic Revolution in Iran. But what has happened between 1982 and 2000, Hezbollah has emerged as one of the most pivotal political players in Lebanon. Hezbollah provides the Shiite community, which is historically very disadvantaged and socially discriminated again in Lebanon, with a sense of identity, a source of pride. And this is why you have large number of Shiites who basically really are neither radicalized nor Islamist, do support Hezbollah because they see Hezbollah as giving them a sense of identity and a source of pride as well.
Are Hezbollah's goals similar to the ones that the religious, the mullahs have imposed in Iran, or are there differences between the Hezbollah idea of Shiism and the Iranian idea of it?
I think initially I would say that Hezbollah in many ways was a carbon copy of the mullahs in Iran who came to power in 1978. But what has happened to Hezbollah in the last 30 years or so, as I suggested, Lebanon is a highly diverse open society in the region. You have a multi-ethnic, multi-religious, one of the most tolerant societies in the region. I think Hezbollah has been socialized into the political landscape. And I think Hezbollah has evolved a great deal, even though Hezbollah, carried out terrorist attacks against Americans and foreigners in the 1980s. I think Hezbollah is no longer the same. Hezbollah is much more complex, much more nuanced. I think the Hezbollah leadership makes it very clear now that even though initially they wanted to create an Islamic state along the same mullahs regime in Iran, they realize now that that's extremely unfeasible and it cannot be done in Lebanon. Even their rhetoric, even their political discourse has evolved a great deal. But what has happened in the last 4 years or so, even though Hezbollah has evolved, neither the Israeli narrative nor the American narrative of Hezbollah has evolved. I mean, as you know, whenever you turn on the television or radio stations, all you hear is that Hezbollah is a terrorist organization, the end of the story. And what this tells us is that we're not really having a debate, and thank you really for NPR and you and all of you for really trying to at least give us at least a platform to talk about the social foundation of Hezbollah, what Hezbollah stands for, how far Hezbollah has evolved, and whether Hezbollah can evolve from a paramilitary organization into a full political party. No one is suggesting that Hezbollah does not practice terrorism. That's not the question. That would be very misleading. All we are saying is that Hezbollah is not just a militia or a conventional army. Hezbollah is a social and political movement, a movement that's deeply rooted in the political landscape in Lebanon, a movement that's supported by 1 million people. And when you hear people, Israeli military commanders and American politicians, we want to kill Hezbollah, what really this means is that you want to kill the 1 million Shiites in Lebanon who support Hezbollah, because unless you kill the 1 million people in Lebanon, you cannot kill Hezbollah.
Now, Hezbollah, as you point out in a Newsweek op-ed piece last Sunday, is fulfilling a social need within Lebanon. It provides support and services that the government isn't always able to provide. So in this way, is it similar to what Hamas has done in the Palestinian territories?
Absolutely.
And the Justice and Development Party has done in Turkey?
Absolutely. And I think, again, you cannot really understand the rise of Islamist movements, mainstream Islamist movement, and radical Islamist movement, like Palestinian Hamas, like Hezbollah, mainly Shia party, or the mainstream Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt and other Muslim countries, without understanding the social function, the social networks that those Islamist parties have provided to their constituencies. Take the example of Hezbollah. Hezbollah provides social services to about, I would say, 4,000 or 5,000 or 600,000 Shiites in Lebanon. Schools, clinics, employment, daycare centers. So in this particular sense, I think to reduce Hezbollah to just a paramilitary organization is to misunderstand and to underestimate the social functions that Hezbollah play in Lebanon.
Does Hezbollah still rely on Iranian financial support?
Yes. I think everything we know, and we're talking really about, it's extremely difficult to get the correct numbers. I think Hezbollah is mainly financed and armed by Iran, and I think we're talking here about $100 million a year. Some of the numbers. Even Hezbollah does not deny the fact that it is being armed and supported and financed by Iran.
And where does Syria play a role in all of this?
I think Syria serves as a conduit for the flow of arms and materiel from Iran to Lebanon, to Hezbollah. And I think it's in Syria's interest that southern Lebanon remains an open front against Israel. As you know, the Golan Heights are still occupied by Israel. And the Syrians believe that unless and until Israel pulls out from the occupied territories, that is the Golan Heights, the Syrian Golan Heights, southern Lebanon serves as a tool, as an instrument for Syria to exert pressure on Israel. And I don't think the Syrians deny that. I think when President W. Bush says that the root causes of this particular round of hostilities basically lay in Hezbollah provoking Israel, because Hezbollah attacked an Israeli military outpost and kidnapped two Israeli soldiers and killed three. Absolutely correct. But what we need to realize is that even though the root causes of the current rounds of hostilities lies in Hezbollah provoking Israel, the root causes of this particular round and other rounds lie in the simmering Arab-Israeli conflict. And the question is, as long as the simmering Arab-Israeli conflict, as long as Jewish and Arab blood is still spilled, you're going to have turmoil and you're going to have upheaval. And even if this round of hostilities was to be resolved in the next few days, I believe that we're going to have instability and upheaval for many years to come, unless a comprehensive, viable settlement is reached between the Israelis and its Arab neighbors.
My guest is Fawaz Gerges, G-E-R-G-E-S, who holds the Christian A. John Chair in International Affairs and Middle Eastern Studies at Sarah Lawrence College. His most recent book was Journey of the Jihadist Inside the Muslim Militancy, which is published by Harcourt. Well, Hezbollah has been credited with being the first group in the Middle East to use suicide bombing as a tactic. What are their ideas about martyrdom? And does this grow out of Shiism, or is this something that's very specific to Hezbollah initially?
Well, I think you're absolutely correct. I mean, I think in a way, Hezbollah pioneered the act of suicide bombings in the 1980s, in the early 1980s. Hezbollah and the various offshoot of Hezbollah carried out some of the devastating and some of the ugliest bombings in Lebanon and outside Lebanon initially in the 1980s against the American Marines who came to separate the combatants, that is Israel and the Palestinians, in the early 1980s, and against the French and the Italians, and of course against foreigners. They kidnapped many civilians, foreigners, who basically spent their lives in Lebanon. And really long before suicide bombing was discovered by Al-Qaeda and the other jihadist movement in the Middle East, and in my book, as you mentioned, in Journey of the Jihadist, the second chapter, I talk a great deal about how Hezbollah pioneered suicide bombings and how Hezbollah was very much influenced by the ideological underpinnings of the mullahs regime in Iran. You're absolutely correct. What I am suggesting is that Hezbollah has evolved a great deal since 1983. Hezbollah is now much more complex than it used to be. It used to be a merely terrorist organization. And I think Hezbollah leadership keeps arguing that it's no longer a jihadist organization in the sense that it is really focuses targets people and targets outside of Lebanon. It's mainly a Lebanese Islamist organization dedicated, as its leaders say, to expelling Israeli forces from the occupied, what remains of an occupied strip of territories in southern Lebanon. But in many ways, unfortunately, I think Hezbollah is also served the interests of Syria and Iran. And this is why, even though that Hezbollah has evolved and unfolded, many Lebanese believe that Hezbollah has done a great deal of damage to Lebanon, because, as you know, Lebanon is a tiny country. Lebanon does not have the capacity to take on regional superpowers like Israel. And by provoking Israel a few weeks ago, I think Hezbollah, in the eyes of many Lebanese — I just returned from Beirut, I was evacuated a few days ago — many Lebanese believed initially that Hezbollah plunged the country into an existential crisis by kidnapping two Israeli soldiers and by demanding that the two Israeli soldiers be exchanged for Lebanese prisoners. As you know, there are Lebanese prisoners in Israeli jails for the last 15 years. Even though now public opinion in Lebanon and the region appears to be turning in favor of Hezbollah because of what has happened in the last 4 weeks. Hezbollah has stood up its ground. Hezbollah has proved to be very resilient, and also because of the overwhelming military onslaught carried out by Israel, not just against Hezbollah, against the entire Lebanese infrastructure. I cannot tell you the damage that the Israeli bombing has done to Lebanon. Almost 1,000 Lebanese civilians have been killed, 3,000 injured, 1 million people displaced, and many people are saying, listen, is this really a war against Hezbollah? Or is this really a war against the entire Lebanese people? 45% of the Lebanese civilian casualties are children, according to UN sources. And this is why now you have more and more Lebanese people who are initially very critical, whom I talked to in Lebanon, very critical of Hezbollah's reckless action, are saying, listen, this war is not against Hezbollah, this war against the entire civilian infrastructure. And you have almost the polls that we have seen in the last few days, almost 87% of all the Lebanese Christians, Shias and Sunnis believe that Hezbollah is legitimate in resisting the Israeli onslaught in Lebanon.
But the longer the conflict goes on, the weaker the Lebanese government gets. And many people have seen Hezbollah as also serving as a proxy for Syria, which was pretty much kicked out of Lebanon for a while. So how much of this is a proxy war?
Well, I mean, I think you cannot deny the fact that Hezbollah does serve the interests of Syria and Iran. And even though personally this is my own understanding of Hezbollah based on research and based on interviews with Hezbollah leaders from all, I mean, rank and file, even though Hezbollah is influenced by Syrian and Iranian foreign policies, Hezbollah has become much more autonomous since 2000. But the big point you're raising here, and this is really a highly critical point, the longer the conflict continues in Lebanon, the longer Israel targets the Lebanese civilian infrastructure, the weaker the democratically elected Lebanese government would be. And this does not serve the interests of either Lebanon or Israel or the international community. Because how can you really restore order to Lebanon if the Lebanese government itself cannot stand up on its feet? And that's exactly what the Israeli bombing is doing. It's weakening Lebanese institutions, and it's strengthening Hezbollah. In fact, Hezbollah has emerged as one of the major winners so far. Of course, the conflict remains very dynamic, very evolving. So in this particular sense, I think, and that's one of the arguments I and other scholars have been making, is that by, escalating the conflict against the Lebanese civilian infrastructure, by bombing the bridges, the institutions, the seaports, the communication centers, Israel basically weakening Lebanese institutions and enabling Hezbollah to emerge stronger in the long term, and thus the entire equation, political and military equation, will be dramatically changed for many years to come.
Hasn't the situation also elevated Saeed Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah, because he can claim to be the only person who's ever been successful, or the only leader who's ever been successful against the very powerful Israeli military?
I mean, no doubts about it. I cannot tell you, I mean, the outcry that exists, not just in Lebanon, throughout the Arab and Muslim world. The leader of Hezbollah, as you suggested, Nasrallah, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, has really emerged as an iconic, undisputed hero of Arabs and Muslims. I mean, as you know, historically, there are fault lines between Sunnis and Shiites. The Sunni represent about 90% of Muslims, and the Shiites represent about 10%. And in Iraq, there has been sectarian strife between Shiites and Sunnis. What really has happened in the last few weeks, Nasrallah has gained the support not only of the Shiite community, which represents about 10% of all Muslims, but even of Sunnis. He has emerged as a symbol of defiance, as a symbol of armed resistance to both Israel and the United States. And ironically, Leonard, and this is the irony of history and political actions, that Israel actions in Lebanon have produced the opposite results from their intended consequences. Initially, Israel said it wanted to kill Hezbollah. It wanted to destroy Hezbollah. What Israel has done is to really embolden and empower Hezbollah and make Hezbollah and Nasrallah, the leader, as the undisputed hero in the region, throughout the region. And ironically, it has weakened, Israel and the United States have weakened pro-Western Muslim governments, like the Egyptians, the Saudis, the Kuwaitis, and the Jordanians, because in the eyes of Arabs and Muslims, and again, this is not just propaganda, based on research and data and polls that we have seen in the last 10 days or so, is that now it's Nasrallah, not Mubarak, not King Abdullah, who is basically represents this hope, this iconic figure for people who feel that they have been basically victimized by both the United States and Israel.
So when the dust settles, Hezbollah will be a major power in Lebanon for the first time. What does that mean for negotiations for a ceasefire? Can the Lebanese government really negotiate when Hezbollah is the most powerful force in the country?
I mean, I think really this question is related to your earlier question about weakening the democratically elected Lebanese government. I mean, the reason why the international community, particularly European governments, have been, arguing all along for an immediate ceasefire, because they feared, and we fear, that the longer the conflict continues, the weaker the Lebanese government would become, and the stronger Hezbollah would be, at least in terms of popular public opinion and in terms of status in the region. And this is why every day that passes without a ceasefire, every day that Israel destroys the bridges and the civilian infrastructure in Lebanon, the weaker the Lebanese government would be, and it would become unable not only to send its forces to the southern Lebanon, but to expand its authority over the entire country and disarm Hezbollah. And I think, as you know, we have a glimmer of hope in the last 24 hours. The Lebanese cabinet yesterday unanimously said that it would like to send 15,000 troops to the Lebanese-Israeli border to secure peace between Lebanon and Israel, and ultimately to disarm Hezbollah. And when the Lebanese Prime Minister Fouad Sanyoura, was asked yesterday on Al Arabiya, it's an Arabic television station, about Hezbollah, he said, "No one, no organization, no party in Lebanon would have arms from now on." I mean, this is a major, major development. Even the two ministers in the Lebanese government, the Hezbollah ministers, approved the cabinet decision to send the Lebanese army to the Lebanese-Israeli border. This is a major step, and I hope both the United States and Israel really respond to this particular move, because it represents a major sea change in the attitudes of the Lebanese government, and I think it could really represent a way out of this deadly conflict. And hopefully the Lebanese government would be able to disarm Hezbollah, and because after all, you really cannot have a sovereign government if you have a state within a state. And regardless of what you think of Hezbollah, Hezbollah has been a state within a state. In fact, Hezbollah is more powerful than the sovereign Lebanese state. And its actions, ultimately, I think, have weakened the Lebanese government and Lebanese institutions. And by sending the Lebanese army to the Lebanese Israeli borders, one would hope that the Lebanese government would extend its control over the entire country and would bring about the disarmament of Hezbollah by fully integrating Hezbollah, or particularly the paramilitary wing, into Lebanese institutions.
I want to thank you so much for participating in this month's Backstory. I've been talking with Fawaz Gurgis, who holds the Christian A. John Chair in International Affairs and Middle Eastern Studies at Sarah Lawrence College. His most recent book from Harcourt is Journey of the Jihadist Inside the Muslim Militancy.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Leonard Lopate Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other podcasts at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.